And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit.
Plus minus.
That is a word right there.
I didn't even say. What'd you say?
Fluffle.
Plus minus.
Yeah, like you, Marcus Thompson.
Marcus always tell the truth. Plus minus.
The only thing that I would say to Ethan Strauss is that he's a pretty damn good reporter. He's well
plus
respected.
Minus. I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a fancy edition of the Warriors Plus Minus Warriors sweet All 82 podcast. We are sitting in the deep bunker suites of Chase Center where fans for the next decade will get to watch James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, Jordan Poole, and the next era of the Warriors. I don't even remember. Who are these veterans they still have on the roster?
Let's move on from them. This is the new era here. Clearly, they're going young. Forget about it. I forget even yet who these other players are.
Steph Curry should be able to spot up in the corner in 2025, knock a three down maybe, right, Marcus?
They're trading them. Trade Steph, trade Clay, Draymond. It's the youth movement here. Rebuild, baby. This thing is nice. So, you know, they ain't going anywhere for a while. I think they're pretty locked in, so.
Do you think Charlotte would give LaMelo for Steph?
Nah, too steep a price. Maybe Terry Rozier, maybe.
Okay, he's nice. Too old. I mean, he fits the timeline better, this new timeline. No, sorry.
We're kidding. I know we're going to have outrage throughout the Warriors.
We don't have to say we're kidding.
We have to say that. I believe we have to say
that. All right, so Jonathan coming at 7, which, you know, it's the surprise of the draft early on. Two surprises. I mean, Barnes goes 4,
yeah.
But that doesn't really affect the Warriors because Suggs goes 5. Then Giddey goes 6 when you thought it was either going to be Kuminga or Book Knight, which actually gives the Warriors the opportunity to go either Kuminga, Book Knight, Moody, who I've been saying this whole process, I know they were super high, and we will get to him.
Mitchell.
Davion Mitchell or Wagner, whose name like kind of surfaced lately, and they go Kuminga, which is clearly.
So hold on. What was this Franz Wagner stuff about? Like everybody at the last minute was like Wagner, and that's a name we hadn't heard at all. What do you think that was about? Was it who was doing the smokescreen?
I mean, I honestly don't know. I don't want to read all the back channels of draft world, and it's kind of a wild place. I mean, there was like rumors of him having a promise with the Kings. Maybe somebody was trying to scare the Kings. I mean, the Warriors brought him in for a workout, and like it's not like they were uninterested in Franz Wagner. But I always thought they were higher on Moody. And I always thought once they realized, hey, this Kuminga thing might happen, they went down to Miami and met with him. By the way, same city they met with James Wiseman. And they, I mean, they were obviously came to the decision that this huge upside swing with a long, elongated timeline before he's probably going to be ready was worth it from a value standpoint and a potentially keep him around, and he's really good in 2 years.
I think it really was important for them to believe that they were going to get somebody that they really liked at 14 who could play immediately. Moses Moody is not a guaranteed instant player, but way more obviously than Kuminga. You don't take Kuminga if you think you're going to take another possible project at 14. You take at 14, you know, Kispert would have worked there, some other guys would have worked there. Moses Moody, I think, definitely works there. So you have the combination, and my sense was it was never going to be Wagner. I kind of made fun of it in the morning, and then I kind of started starting a little hedge because it started getting a little stronger on the whole scuttlebutt. But he's such a compromise choice at 7. That's why I didn't love Mitchell at 7. At 7, you go for – if you have an elite potential player, you go for that player at 7. You don't go for that player. You know, that's more like an 11 or 12 or a 13 pick. And I will say it now because I said it to Slater before the pick happened. I said if Wagner's comparable to me is Omri Caspi. It's just a compromise player, a complementary player possibly a not good player.
Wow.
I just didn't see it with. Now he might totally blow me away. Now defensively, he's way better than that, and he's bigger.
Orlando took him eight.
Yeah, but I don't see it. I don't see him in any way being a star player, having no chance to be a star. And I think at seven, you have to try to take a player you think is going to be a star. Like, you know, Davion Mitchell, who I like a lot better than Wagner, but he's like a backup point guard. I don't know you take a backup point guard, even a really good one at seven. You go for something where you can hit a triple with, not a single. That's my opinion.
Or 3 months from now.
You can trade him. Who's got the most trade value out of all those possibilities at seven? There's no question that it's Jonathan Kuminga. It's no question. He's got more trade value than Giddey. He's got more trade value than a lot of them. I mean, maybe not more than Jalen Suggs, but like taking him at seven. And it's hard to do this because you don't know what teams you're going to want in a couple months. But, man, if Bradley Beal becomes available, if Pascal Siakam becomes available through other events in a couple months, I think Kuminga is going to be a very interesting piece for the Warriors to play if that's how it develops.
Marcus, initial thoughts on, I mean, Kuminga at seven. And, I mean, the real story, honestly, I feel like they're fist pumping more in the – room because Moody fell to 14, which we can get to because, again, they were looking at him at 7. But what are your just general thoughts on the night?
Yeah, any other one of these going to help win a title this year? Because I thought that was the whole point.
I think Moses Moody could carve out a little role. Is that going to help them win a title? I don't know. Probably not. He's 19 years old. Kuminga's 18, by the way. He doesn't even turn 19 until October.
Take at seven, who you can say, okay, that guy helps him win the title?
Bradley Beal.
You have to be. You can't trade for someone that isn't available, and I don't think Bradley Beal is available. Again,
Bradley Beal is going to win a title this year with Kyle Kuzma and the revamped Wizards, baby.
Yes, he is.
Rui Hachimura. Yes, he is. Always forget about Rui.
Corey Kispert's facing the floor for them now.
But.
You can't hate on Rui. Come on.
No,
you're not allowed.
It's my boy. What are you talking about, my boy? You can't trade for somebody who's not on the trade market. And again, he might become available at some point, but you can't trade for somebody who's not there. It's just not how you do this. So, and if you're trying to do a two-way move here, you take the guy with the highest upside, Jonathan Kuminga, and you hope that he can play for you and maybe give you some minutes this season, probably much more likely in future seasons. And if the Wizards are blowing it up, what are they going to want? What are they going to want? They're going to want a really good, really young player, and that's Jonathan Kuminga, if you ask me. Say it's a great piece to play.
Yeah. Moody. Moody at 14. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, I feel like drafts are about value, and Kuminga at seven is great value, right? Like, if for nothing else, in 30 days after they sign, that he will be valuable. Somebody will want him. I think that's good. That's to me is how you work a draft. What really made the draft though was getting Moody, like getting the guy.
That's value,
right? That's incredible value on their board. Moody was not 14. And they ended up getting him anyway.
Bob Myers may come out and reveal his draft board, and sometimes GMs come out and lie. From my sense, again, like talking to a bunch of people behind the scenes, I think they probably got number 6 and like 8 or 9 on their draft board. Probably
they would have taken Moody ahead of, you know, Wagner. I think they would have taken Moody ahead of Mitchell. Probably, I mean, it probably was close. And you get him at 4. Now, maybe they're wrong. I don't love Moody. I can see what he does. I think there's a ceiling on him, but that's okay. You take him at 14. That's a good spot to take a guy who can hit threes, play some defense, be long, and be playable in a second unit. And he might be right away. And if they sign, and another point, as I keep saying, I assume Myers might have an idea of who's available to them, who's likely to sign for that tax mayor mid-level. So then you have Moody and whoever it is, when it was Batum, Gay, we've mentioned the names. You don't need another wing, right? Kuminga then becomes somebody you can definitely kind of put to the side, and you see what Wiseman can give you, and you know, hopefully you get something more from Wiseman. Then you have Wiseman and Kuminga as these two loaded pieces that you either trade or you can develop, and there's your core post-Curry. And I know people don't like to think of a post-Curry era, and maybe it's not going to happen for a long time, but they sort of do have to look at it if you get the number 7 pick. And let's see if they can develop it. Let's see if this new development staff.
Like 8 months after having the number 2 overall pick using that on a project.
Let's see what Kenny Atkinson and all, you know, the new group they brought together. can do with these guys, because if they can't do anything with them, that's a problem. And you can throw Poole and Wiseman and Jessup and, you know, Mannion and everything else in there. But I just think if you definitely know you're going to get a veteran wing, and then you go Moody in the wing into the rotation, and you have Kuminga to the side, and that's not a terrible way to look at this draft.
Yeah, I mean, next week matters a ton. You know, I was texting somebody about the idea of Wagner, and yeah, Wagner could have stepped in and probably played quicker than Kuminga and maybe been, you know, a spread the floor 4-5 combo with Draymond, who can pass a little bit, has a good feel for the game. And then it within that same conversation, it was like, well, Nick Batum is a better version of that for next season's team. And I know they're interested in Batum, and we'll see if they get him next week. Like, to me, next week is like this. Today is more monumental on like where things are going over the next half decade, you know, via trade or just via these guys who they drafted. Next week matters more for next season's team.
But what they've done, right, while they had a really good night, what they've done is they've taken the most valuable resources and used them for the future, leaving them with a very limited resource to deal with now. It's harder now to do it. It's doable. You get a Batum, you get a Serge Ibaka, everybody's like, yo, you're ready. But it's harder. You got $6 million. You know, you got veteran minimums. You got to get Joe Lacob, who's already well into the tax, to sign off on a signing trade with Kelly Oubre, right? The easier way, it felt like, to do it would have been to somehow use those picks. But it doesn't seem like anything was there. Like, the Pacers.
I would like to know exactly what was on the table.
It feels like everybody wanted Wiseman, and the Warriors seems like they pretty much made it clear we're not trading Wiseman.
They don't want to trade him.
They want value, right? They want, like, okay, we're putting Wiseman. You're putting something more than Ben Simmons or something like that. I mean, and that's just not going to happen.
I've said it on the last podcast. The problem is the league's coming in thinking two things. Number one, they're extremely urgent and impatient and need to make a trade, and the assets they have are distressed, right? Wiseman, ooh, he's a distress asset. Let's get him on the low. Wiggins, oh, bad contract. You know, Jordan Poole, oh, just throw him in as a sweetener. That's just not how the Warriors view their assets. They think Wiseman will become a player. They think Andrew Wiggins, for now, I mean, people don't realize, what does he have, 2 years, like $65 million left? Like, that's not that bad of a, you know, they're like, yeah, we'll take that.
26-year-old yeah. player.
Yeah. And they'll say, if they have him play the starting small forward for the next two seasons and then Kuminga's, you know, becoming a decent player. I mean, they probably view Kuminga now as the heir. They didn't like any trades on the table.
I mean, what was the one reported in Philadelphia Inquirer that it was Philadelphia offering Ben Simmons for Wiseman, Wiggins, and 4 first round picks, which would have been the 2 this year and 2 future ones?
I believe Daryl Morey's going around the league acting like he has Michael Jordan to offer.
Are you kidding me?
Nobody watched the playoffs, right? like he's got the Men in Black little thing where he flashes your memory. Yeah. It's gone.
So, again, is it a much more stratified roster now? Yes. But they needed to add more players. They just did. And then, you know, they probably have been better if they're not 19 years old. But to 21 and 22 year olds, we're not available. If Kuminga doesn't play at all and Wiseman isn't that much better, it's going to be funky. And we know it. And we know Steph and Draymond aren't going to love it. And I don't think Steve's going to love it. That's an absolute possibility. But if they're they're semi-playable, or Wiseman is actually pretty good, and Moody can play, and you've got Kuminga as value now, you know, that is pretty close to maximizing 7-14 this draft.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Pressure's big time on the player development staff, and what the player development staff can do with those players will reflect on if the front office made the correct decision or not. Pressure's on organizationally, but how do you, okay, Marcus, I want to ask you this. How do you think the Stars are taking this? I mean, obviously, they can't be too distraught that Bradley Beal's not coming because it's clear Bradley Beal decided himself not to come, essentially. I know, look, Moody's a clutch guy. I know Moody has somewhat of a relationship with Draymond a little bit. I do think they're fans of that pick. I don't know about the Kuminga one. How do you think that, you know, the reality is Steph Curry is looking at his roster tonight and has an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old.
Yeah, I do think they like Moody. Like, just talking before, when we thought Moody was 7, you know, it's like, yo.
Moody's 14, they don't want anymore.
Moody's nice, right? That was a good pick. I do feel like they knew Bradley Beal was a long shot or Dame was a long shot. It was like, yo, see what you can do. The problem is they need a creator and they didn't get one. Like, that's the really big thing.
Book Knight dropped to 11.
Yeah, but man, he fell.
I wonder, like, if instead of Giddy, you got Kuminga go 6, what are they doing at 7? I would have said Book Knight. Again, that was my line from the beginning. I just think he fits a lot of things that they could use instantaneously. A guy who can just go find buckets when Steph's not playing. Maybe it was Wagner. I don't know. I mean,
I told you, I've been pressures on all these people. Pressures on Jordan Poole now. Yeah. Create Jordan Poole.
Marcus pumps him up. Yeah, Warriors say, hell with it. We don't need another guard. We got Jordan Poole. You know, I'm sure a lot of those things, like, nothing's ever one thing or the other. That's what, you know, you hear about this. They got to do this because this guy's great. No, they did this because they kind of thought this and they kind of think something else. And Kuminga might be traded or he might, remember, you know, they're going to say he's absolutely not drafted to be traded, right? Guess what? That's what they said when they traded for D'Angelo Russell, right? We did not trade for him to trade him again.
Like, there's no question that Jonathan Kuminga, if there's a big swing to be made that they're interested in and it makes sense, like, Jonathan Kuminga will be asked for by another team, and he will not be an impediment to getting something done that they feel like is, like,
elevates them
to championship worthy. And to be honest, look, the Beal thing is not blowing up anytime soon, clearly. I mean, with this Westbrook move made and how they're rebuilding, it's clearly with Beal in mind. Portland's interesting to look at because Damian Lillard is at the Olympics and he's basically has signaled, he's been pretty public about it, like, we'll see what the Blazers do in free agency. And and if the Blazers strike out, I'm not really sure I see a way the Blazers can, like, make it look like they suddenly have a title roster around Damian Lillard. Maybe if it's a Ben Simmons, CJ McCollum type swap, that could get interesting. But I think there's a chance we're sitting here in late August and Damian Lillard's search, you know, his eyes start really wandering. And then, yes, Kuminga's valuable. He's more valuable than Franz Wagner in that situation. Yes.
Or what's up with Pascal Siakam? Right? Like, there's another guy.
How about Toronto taking Scotty Barnes instead of Jalen Suggs?
Like, that was interesting to me. Like, you know, that's pretty duplicate. Again, it's always great to have big wings, and those two are two very big wings. But that, like, he had Suggs sitting right there who could replace Kyle Lowry, boom. And you don't take him. You take the guy who duplicates Pascal Siakam, your best player, who's going to be remaining. And, you know, God, Toronto, you know, they could be interested in Wiseman. They could be interested in Kuminga. They could be interested in both. That one is interesting.
It is. My sense, I assume you guys both had it. Siakam is on a lower level tier. Like, Siakam to me is not – yeah, Kuminga, Wiseman, Wiggins, everything.
He's definitely not everything.
I don't think they give up Wiseman for him.
Yeah, what if it's Kuminga and next year's one?
Kuminga, Wiggins, yeah, and next year's one.
Yeah. I mean, that – the Warriors wouldn't be losing a lot by doing that, even from the current roster, and they'd be adding Pascal Siakam.
You know what they would be losing? The package that they got for – D'Angelo Russell, because we can now say today, what did they get for D'Angelo Russell? They got Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga.
I think the Warriors would take that. I think the Warriors take that package. But again, you know, we'll see Kuminga. Now this makes Summer League really interesting, by the way.
Sacramento, baby. I'm going to be there. It's like 4 days.
I was asked if I was going to go, and I said no. And I'm like, wait a minute. I kind of want to see Jonathan Kuminga. Like, let's see. And the Moody, is Moody going to be the best player on the court? Is Kuminga going to be the most dynamic? It's going to be really fascinating.
Kuminga's the player to watch. Moody's, especially in summer league, is probably going to be kind of like, you know, 14 points.
Do you look like you can hit shots? Do you look like you can hit shots? Even scatterball play. Is Kuminga just kind of like physically just at another level from some of these guys?
By the way, Kuminga wearing number 00. What do you think of that?
Robert Parrish.
Any thoughts on double zero?
He's two times Oakland.
No, let's pub up the Slater at the whatever classic in California classic.
I will be there. I'll be there breaking down Jonathan Kuminga.
I'm very interested in that. And then they get to Vegas, and that's when potential second stage trades start.
Have you seen their summer league matchups? They're playing the Kings the first time, so we're going to get Davion Mitchell, maybe guarding Kuminga a little bit. I believe they play Toronto in Vegas, so some Scotty Barnes. They play the Thunder, although that's less. I thought they were going to get Booknight Kuminga, but it sounds like they're going to get Giddy Kuminga. I don't know. It was an interesting draft.
Yeah, it's like people were interested in Giddy, and maybe I'm totally wrong, but kind of a non-dynamic athlete who can't shoot. I don't care how big he is. He wasn't going to fit on the Warriors. I don't think that's a guy the Warriors were going to take. I might be totally wrong. Giddy. I don't see that.
I agree. Everything I heard pre was like, there was definitely like, he's interesting. But, when he was being mentioned at 7, like wouldn't even be there at 14. They were not taking him at 7.
14 would be the only shot. Then it's a value play at that point. But if Moody's on the board, Kispert's on the board, Mitchell.
Duarte went right before.
Duarte at 13, how about that?
There were some surprises, man. My guy Zaire jumped high. I did not expect that.
Zaire was interesting. Ahead of Jalen Johnson, which I like Jalen Johnson over Zaire. But I'm surprised because I thought Duarte would have been a stretch for the Warriors at 14. I understand why, because you can play him. But he's the oldest first-round pick, I think, in NBA history. I mean, like, that's a little spooky to me. I mean, I would have understood. I get why teams would do that. But, like, the Warriors drafted Epi Udo when he was 23, and he looked, you're doing the countdown in your head already. He's 23 years old. And I don't know that I would have taken him at 13. like, if the Warriors took him at 14, I would have said, fine, I get it. But in my mind, I would have gone, okay, that's really back end. Like, you're already getting, like, he's in the middle of his career right now, basically, not the start. I think maybe they caught a break when Duarte goes 13, because they probably would have taken Moody over Duarte no matter what, but that really made Moody available for them at 14, and I think he's just a player that I think you could see being an NBA starter. I don't know that Duarte quite is going to be an NBA starter, and certainly not he's projecting from 24, and Moody's projecting from 19.
If Duarte is going to be an NBA starter, he needs to be
right now.
A year from now.
Yeah, right now.
So, Kuminga. I think he was in the high 20s from three last year. I mean, super inefficient shooting. A lot of criticism pre-draft about just, like, the defensive effort. Like, you watch the game against Santa Cruz, which was the game that in the aftermath, people were like, is this the best player in the country? Because, he's coming over weak side. He's, like, blocking Jordan Poole's shots. He's taking Poole off the dribble. He's doing a lot in that game that looks like a young Paul George, essentially. But at the same time, the numbers are bad. The defensive film is bad. You mentioned being very interested on watching him in summer league. What are you looking at most in summer league?
I'd say poise. Like, you know, what we always say about what drives Kirk crazy, if you catch the ball and start fumbling it. Like, catch the ball, make a decision, get to the rim, move it. Shooting, I think we can all assume the shooting's not be great, but do you look decent doing it? Just kind of that. And then the defense, and I don't think it's going to be great, but, you know, is he NBA athlete out there? We all know he's going to, but does he look like it? Does he project like that? Does he present it? Just does he have the feel of someone who belongs on the court and isn't going to get totally blown off? I don't think his stats are going to be great, but I think more than anything, I'm going to look, if he catches the ball, is he going to, like, figure out what to do with it, or is he fumbling around? Like Wiseman, you know, how many times he was just fumbling the ball around because he wasn't quite sure what he wanted to do. I think you do that in the summer league, you're going to be non-playable for a year or plus, certainly with the Warriors. So I almost like just what I think in the G League, in the beginning he seemed fine with that. At the end, he was like totally not. He just didn't look present. Like, this was not a dynamic person to put out there. Just how does he look as a poised athlete instead of just somebody scrambling around trying to figure out what he's doing? Jalen Green looked like he put together in the G League towards the second half. Like, he like was poised. Like, yeah. He's like, he got the ball, gathered, two steps, finish. Sometimes it went in, sometimes it didn't. Kuminga just kind of didn't do that. Is he just going to be someone who can say, okay, I belong out here, I can figure out a space or two?
Yeah, I would say I'm looking for, like, flash moments. Like, and we have seen those with Wiseman where there's plays like, oh, you know, like, wow, spin to the rack, dunk. Like, man, that does look like an NBA superstar, even if it's 7 years away from being that. And then the other thing is, like, maybe, like, more than flash moments, like flash sequences. Maybe he can score 10 and a quarter. He gets hot from three. How confident is he taking the three? That type of stuff. Marcus, what are you looking for summer league, Jonathan Kuminga?
It's just how his feel for the game, like the stuff you're reading, he's so raw that they're gonna have to teach him how to play basketball. What's the guy they had and he ended up doing well in Toronto? He was with Jordan Bell. He's with Jordan Bell or
Chris Boucher, you're talking
about? Chris Boucher comes to mind. Yeah. A guy where it's like, you gotta put in work and you gotta develop areas of his game.
You know who Chris Boucher credits for a lot of his development?
Chris DeMarco?
No. Jama Malalela, who is now the head of player development for the Golden State Warriors. Player development, pressure's on.
Because right now, like, Kuminga's greatest attribute is his athleticism, right? He's got a little bit of a defensive potential. I saw him dribble. He's not a great ball handler, but he can handle it, right? Like, he knows how to dribble a little bit. But that's about it. The rest is all envisioning something on him, and they've got to create it. So, essentially, this is, you know, a project even more of a project than Wiseman was, right? Right? Wiseman came in and you kind of didn't know, but he could do things immediately. I wonder, like, I want to see what his feel for the game is and, like, what his capacity to learn is. That's what I kind of see, because it's all build and it's all development for him. I don't know that he's going to see the floor very much.
I want to see. I mean, you know, listen, what does a great athlete do? Almost immediately, can run the transition. And guess who was the Warriors' best transition finisher last season? Kelly Oubre, who is not going to be back with the team. And, you know, if Kuminga can get a few minutes here and there, it's because he can play the wing and can get out and run and just finish. And, you know, I don't know where he's going to be defensively. I don't know where he's going to be passing the ball. I don't know where he's going to be shooting. But just run the court, feel like you belong out there, and finish over people. Because, as we've said over and over, the Warriors don't have a lot of those guys. And they can run. And then people are going to be running to Steph, running to Clay. Draymond's going to be leading the break. Get out there and run ahead of them. And he should be able to. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen in the regular season this season. But I think he might give some signs of that in summer league. And, you know, you should, because he's going to be more athletically gifted than most of the players out there.
Yeah, and one thing he should really have over what Wiseman had his rookie year, he's about to get a summer league where you install and you learn concepts and you get coached by the player development coaches that'll be there all season. So he's going to get a full summer league, should get an extended training camp. You know, stuff can happen, but an extended training camp. And then preseason games.
Oh, and then he won't be starting the opener.
Most likely not starting the opener, but preseason games were, yeah, sure, you could give Jonathan Kuminga like plenty of minutes with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, or not Klay Thompson, and then he's going to get early season where there's no Klay Thompson, so the rotation's already a little bit wonky. Maybe you plug him in, you know, 18 rotational minutes in the first few weeks, and then suddenly Klay Thompson's itching his way back. Jonathan Kuminga, all you learned around all these champions, go to the G League and play 35 minutes and explore everything. And then by, you know, maybe like a Jordan Poole type jump. I'm not saying he'll have that, but, you know, he comes back in March. And it's like, okay, now let's see if you can implement that into the game. Yeah, should be a healthier path for a rookie season than Wiseman had for sure.
By February, March, can you share a role with Juan Toscano-Anderson, right? That's what it is. Not even take that role. I mean, you're always going to have JTA get minutes, certainly down the stretch. But can you take some of those backup small forward, backup power forward minutes just here or there and not be a disaster?
Well, you know what else? I think it's good for him to watch Andrew Wiggins. Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, that's not going to – you know, get people too excited.
Come a long way, right? Like,
Wiggins
mentor.
No, but you know what I mean. If they can sit there on the bench with him early in the season and go like, look at Andrew
Wiggins a little bit above that.
If this means Wiggins talks, it's a win, right?
But you know, I'm just like, you can sit there on the bench with him if you're one of the coaches early in the season. Be like, look at how, you know, particularly on Wiggins' good nights. Like, look at how he's playing the supplementary slashing role, secondaries, taking shots. Watch him defend. You know,
gets to work. He knows where he can cut.
This feels like Moody. This feels like Moody's role.
Well, they can both sit on the bench and watch, and they both will be.
Yeah, I mean, again, I keep saying this. It's not like they needed three guys to get 20 minutes a game. They don't need to add three guys. They need 2, 1.5. You know, it depends on what they do with Bazemore. And can Kuminga be 1/2 of that? Can he be 1/3 of that? I think he can, and Moody beats, you know, 3/4 of that. And then you get one plus player, then you add a veteran who actually is going to be right in the rotation, and you got a full extended, you know, depth at you know, 2 units, 3 units. They're better. You know, are they a championship team? Probably not, but they're good enough to take a look at it, see what it's going to be. Last year, they went 50-5 to finish the season and played the Lakers, you know, tooth and nail. Lakers weren't great, but that was a pretty damn good game. And that was with a 7-man rotation. And you add 2.5 people to that, I'd be interested to see that.
Anything else?
Yeah, Bob Myers coming up in a little bit.
We should probably, you know, say our farewells to one Alan Smilage each, because this affected me.
I got Twitter up in arms because I tweeted it out. Like, I basically say that Kuminga's kind of sliding into the Alan Smilage roster spot. And I don't know, just like the sound of Alan Smilage just sends people into a frenzy.
That's it, right? Like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's taken up the project spot on the roster, and you can only, they better only have one of those.
Patton drafted Kuminga. Smilage would not be on the team. I know.
We're going to sign off. Yeah. Smiley.
Oh, it's so over. Basically, Jessup might have that actual role. Because Kuminga,
if Jessup makes the roster, it's because Jessup proved to them this summer he'd get on the court and hit some threes.
Yeah. There shouldn't be a Smiley role, but there shouldn't be one because he just was never going to play. Yes, he is not going to be on the team next week. And Kuminga and Jessup and Mannion and all these guys are actual players. We'll see on Mannion who will fill out the roster.
Tearing it up in the Olympics for Italy.
Tearing it up for Italy right now. Let's go, man. Like, yo, he looks good, though.
He does look kind of good there. Well. But also, Mo Wagner looks terrific for Germany. And, like, there's some just, you know. Anyway, all right. Yeah, let's go listen to Bob Myers explain these draft picks. Maybe say some controversial stuff.
Light it up.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.